Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30, and then you can talk about the broadcast together and learn together. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministries, CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson in developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we are so grateful for what you've done in Jesus Christ, in the forgiveness of our sins, and not only forgiveness, but giving us the Holy Spirit to empower us to live a Spirit-filled and a Spirit-led life. And that, Lord, through your power, by your word, we're able to be men and women that are known as overcomers, overcomers of this age, overcomers of the kingdom of darkness, and lights that come from the kingdom of God among friends, among neighbors and family, that they might see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Bless the broadcast today, Lord, and our time of studying your word together. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. All right. Well, last time we looked at Saul and how he was touched by the Spirit of God and prophesied when he got among the prophets, that he began to prophesy, but we see that his heart wasn't right towards God, and he turned away from the Lord, and the Lord withdrew his Holy Spirit from Saul, and Saul ended up being tormented by an evil spirit. And then God anointed David, who was led and directed by the Spirit of the Lord in his ministry and life there as the king of Israel. So we're going to continue to look at the Holy Spirit in our study and letting the Spirit reign in your heart, which Saul did not do, as Samuel reveals. 1 Samuel 16:14 says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him." This is a difficult passage in that it conveys the thought that both the Spirit of God and an evil spirit were sent from the Lord to Saul. God put his Spirit on Saul when he was anointed as king of Israel. Saul even prophesied when he was among the prophets. Saul turned from the Lord's commands to his own plans during his reign. His heart became cold and selfish. The Lord withdrew his spirit because Saul chose to do evil before the Lord. Afterwards, the Lord sent an evil spirit to terrorize Saul. The Lord of heaven is in control of both good and the evil. Satan and his kingdom of darkness have restrictions placed on them by the Lord. They are confined to the earth in their ability to have influence. As believers, we wrestle against these powers. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, Satan and the kingdom of darkness have already been judged by Jesus, according to John 16:11, declaring that the ruler of this world has been judged. Many Christians are still in bondage to the kingdom of darkness because their hearts have not been fully cleansed and released. 1 John 1:5 10 tells us that. The Spirit of God comes to convince of sin and righteousness and judgment, and John 16:8 reveals. He also comes to produce, as I said, righteousness, John 16:10. So it's the Spirit of the Lord's desire to produce in us righteousness, peace, and joy that's in the Holy Spirit. That's what the Spirit of God brings as he comes into our life. Many of God's people battle continually with evil spirits because they refuse to allow the Holy Spirit complete control in their lives. They remain king of their own circumstances, rather than allowing the Holy Spirit his rightful place of rule in their hearts. Forgiveness is one of the main bondages giving the enemy a right to control, confuse, and bind up our walk with our walk with Christ and our relationship with others. Jesus addresses this in the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, 21 through 35. The king was angry that the servant he had forgiven failed to forgive a fellow servant a much smaller debt. The king turned over the unforgiving servant to the tormentors in jail until the debt was fully paid. Jesus stated in Matthew 18, 35, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you. If each of you does not forgive his brother from the heart, the tormentors are evil spirits. The debt can only be paid through forgiveness from the heart." So anybody that we're holding resentment against, I talked about this before in the broadcast. It could be a mother, it could be a father, it could be a sibling, it could be some individual that you thought was your friend and they did you wrong. It can be just somebody at work. It can be whatever the circumstances. We, as forgiven of the great debt of our sin by the Lord Jesus Christ, are required, beloved, to forgive others. We do not have a right to hold resentment and unforgiveness against any because of the great debt our God has forgiven us of. And so if we resist the Holy Spirit in this area, it really makes room for an evil spirit to bring torment to us until we come to the realization what the root of our problem is, unforgiveness. And so Jesus deals with this very directly in Matthew 18. It's very important for us to be familiar with this story and what Jesus is teaching, and to forgive others of anything that they've done to us. Do not hold unforgiveness against any, because it just gives a license to the enemy to put us in a certain kind of prison. And many Christians are in those prisons because they've not been taught or led to forgive others that have hurt them in some way. So today, let's ask the Holy Spirit to search our heart and reveal to us any unforgiveness that would give Satan's demonic tormentors rights in our life. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a heart of forgiveness for anyone who has hurt you. Ask God for grace to forgive anyone he shows you, and cut them free and let them be free from that place that they created in that hurt and you help nurture in the unforgiveness. Then bind the evil one and be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has come to fully establish God's kingdom reign through the Lord Jesus Christ in each of our hearts today and every day. Wow, what a tremendous lesson, tremendous area that we must come to understand. Now let's move into this thought, the Spirit-led sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. All who are being led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. There is the key to knowing that we're a son of God or a daughter of God, brought into that same understanding as one who belongs to the family of God. How do we know it? It's because we forgive like our Father forgives. It's because we're led by the Spirit of God, not by our human spirit, not by our own ideas, not by our own thoughts. Sonship with God is only possible through the Holy Spirit. Children are born to their parents, but a true son is one that obeys his father by following his instructions. The same is true in the kingdom of God. Many have been given power to become children of God, John 1:12. But sonship is a matter of maturity. A father trains his children with the hope and desire that his children will become mature and grow up and become responsible individuals. As a father of six boys and one daughter, my great joy was to watch them grow and become mature. in their adulthood, able to handle the affairs of life with the values instilled by their mother and me in their lives, in their developing time. And they now tell us about those times in their own life when God dealt with them under the discipline of their parents. They talk about it with us, and they tell us how much they appreciate it and how it's helped them in their life. And so there is a reward that comes in the days ahead if you'll do that. Our Heavenly Father is bringing forth sons and daughters with the character of His only begotten Son. The work of the Holy Spirit in the earth is to create a new creation out of the old. He is producing a spiritual race that has the spiritual DNA of God's only begotten Son. The Holy Spirit is ready to help you, as Paul states, know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God, Ephesians 3:19. You cannot gain this understanding through human reasoning. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal the love of Christ, and only the Holy Spirit can fill us with the fullness of God. Only in the love of Christ and the fullness of God can we become mature sons and daughters of God. As sons and daughters, we are to carry out the Father's will and not our own will. There is no male or female in the matter of sonship. Every person who has surrendered who has surrendered their life to Christ has been called to reflect Christ in and through their life. It is in men and women throughout the nations that God is revealing His kingdom purpose in the earth. The written word is being lived out in lives. It's the Rhema word that is lived out, the word of God that changes and transforms. So the written word, the Logos of God, which is the living word, Christ is the Logos of God, but that revealed word of God is lived out through our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit in the earth. The written word is being lived out in their lives. These are lives which have been recreated in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's purpose is for the nations to come to know Him and do His will. This can only happen through sons and daughters of God that are led by the Holy Spirit. That was God's plan from the very beginning. When He created Adam and Eve, He breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, and they were given assignments. And the assignment was to obey God and not to try to find knowledge out on their own initiative. And that's what happened over the tree that God forbid them to partake of. It was their choice and decision to disobey God and be just. Eve was deceived by the words of the enemy. Many of God's people are deceived because they listen to the enemy as opposed to the word of God and don't have the strength to obey God's word. And that strength will cause us to lose that place that God has called us to be His representative in the earth, to be His governor, if you would, to govern our sphere of responsibility by the power of the Spirit of the Lord. That's what Adam and Eve lost in the garden. Not just the sin didn't just separate them from God. It did do that, but they lost their position of government, of governing the garden, and then eventually going out of the garden into the entire earth and seeing men and women reproduced through a natural ways. But men and women that had a redeemed spirit because they hadn't sinned, because they obeyed God, that's not what happened. So God had to send His only begotten Son to bring redemption and bring us back to His original intent. His original plan is men and women that would rule in the earth in the character of Christ and reveal God to friends, to neighbors, to people we work with, that they can see God in our life and question even maybe, how is it that you live this way? How is it that you do so well? Why do you always have peace about you? People will be interested in your life if you're living surrendered to God and letting God's life be revealed through you. So I hope that's helpful. Let's go on today in the time we have. Let's talk about walking by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says this, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Walking by the Spirit is our great challenge. Our human tendency is to trust our own humanness, as Adam and Eve did. Our human nature is made up of our natural senses and our human reasoning, which some call common sense. Paul teaches us that the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural creation is always battling with the spiritual creation. Daily we must ask the Holy Spirit for his help. The Lord Jesus called the Holy Spirit the helper. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. John 14:16. God answered his son's request when the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. A mistake that many believers make is to assume that all the promises of God are automatic. They are not. He has given us his promises, but he wants us to seek him for their manifestation in our lives. This truth is no different concerning the helper. We must ask for his help. Do not assume the Holy Spirit's help will automatically be there. He desires us to develop a relationship with him. That's our devotional, developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Daily and many times throughout the day, ask the Holy Spirit for his help. We do not have to be limited to our natural senses, but can receive supernatural help by simply learning to ask the helper. He has helped me many times by solving problems that were beyond my scope of understanding. Nurture a consistent discipline of asking for the Spirit's help day by day. Day and night, we need his help. In your devotions, do not neglect asking his help. Give him first place in all of your life's activities. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Amen? Okay, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to spend some time talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Understand it's singular, the fruit. Although there's nine fruits that are given, but the fruit is one package because it's one Holy Spirit. So Galatians 5:22 says the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is a mouthful to chew all at once. We devote ourselves to this meditation. We want to consider each aspect of the fruit of the Spirit one at a time. It would be understood that these are not nine individual fruits. Notice that Paul says the fruit, singular. I'm emphasizing that so we get it, not plural. The singular is the Holy Spirit. All of these fruit, the parts of the fruit of the Spirit, belong to him. And if he's in us, then they're all available there to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. I hope that's helpful. He does not distribute only one of these qualities, but these attributes are the very character of the Spirit of God in us. All should be the character of God's children when they allow the Holy Spirit to control their lives. Each attribute needs to be considered on its own merit, but at the same time, they are interdependent on one another. We begin with love. God is love. The entire verse states, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So what's the abiding key? It's love. 1 John 4:16. To know does not mean simply knowledge, but experience. The love of God through the Holy Spirit is revealed to us as we experience His forgiveness and acceptance. So that's how we first encounter the love. It's as we receive His forgiveness and His acceptance of our lives, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter how long it's taken to come. Today, if you cannot testify of the abiding love of God in your life, ask the Holy Spirit to examine your heart and see if there is any unforgiveness which you are holding. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal hurts that have been covered up over time. Let Him bring those hurts to the surface. Although it might be painful for the moment, He will give you the power of His love to forgive others that have hurt you and to let go so you can experience the fullness of God's love in your life. So let's just pray together. Father, today, would you please reveal any unforgiveness in our heart, in our lives that we might have? Give me grace to forgive anyone against whom I have been holding a grudge. Ask for the Holy Spirit to fill me. I ask for the Holy Spirit to fill me afresh to overflowing with the love of God for that individual. Lord, this is a great time. Lord, it's a great time just to ask you to come and reveal any unforgiveness in us so that we might just release people and forgive them of their debt against us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and so then the Bible goes on and talks about the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Galatians 5:22. Joy follows love. When we have experienced the love of God and His love begins to take root in our inner man, the natural outflow is joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, the Bible says in Nehemiah 8:10. His joy is promised to all those who serve Him as Lord. Enter into the joy of your master, Matthew 25:23 says. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, reminding them, "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with joy of the Holy Spirit." See, they even received it during times of tribulation, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. But it was by the joy of the Holy Spirit. After David had sinned greatly, and had sought the Lord with a heart of repentance, his one request was, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit, Psalm 51:12. When God's salvation and rule over the whole earth is finally established and manifested completely, His rule becomes the joy of the whole earth, Psalm 48:2. The psalmist is exalting the Lord and declaring his ultimate purpose. Amen. It is joy that attracts others to the believer who has truly embraced God's love. The work of the Holy Spirit becomes manifest in a believer's life when righteousness and peace are established. Joy comes from these two works of the Spirit, Romans 14:17. Joy is not external, but flows from the innermost being of our person. It is a part of that of what Jesus is saying when He declared, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." And love and joy is part of that river that flows out of our innermost being. John 7:37-38. Although the word joy is not used here, it is there by implication as one reads the reference from which Jesus drew his teaching. The literal translation reads, "Let him keep me coming to me, let him keep coming to me, and let him keep drinking." It does not take much to lose one's joy. So we must keep coming to Jesus through the Holy Spirit and keep drinking of the spiritual water that can only come from Him. that gives us supply. So the joy of the Lord is a supernatural joy and not the happiness that the world promises. Earthly happiness fades ever so easily, but the Lord supplies a continual reservoir of his joy. If you need to repent of anything, do it now. Ask for the righteousness of Christ to rule in you. Receive his peace and let the joy that is in the Holy Spirit flow from you, your life. Father, we just take a deep drink today of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord. We allow him to establish in us what you have promised of righteousness and peace and of Christ ruling in our heart, that the result will be to be strengthened in joy, in the joy of the Lord. So we ask the Holy Spirit right now for joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're out of time again today. And so thank you so much for tuning in and listening. Let me just say that thank you for joining us today once again. If you would like a copy of one or any of my books, go to our website at www.sdccm.org/shop, and you'll see some books there, and the order form, and you can order them there. The contribution will help us with the broadcast time. Just drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write again at CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now, thank you, and remember, walk with the King. God bless each one of you.